So, what do I want to talk about tonight? I don't know, there's so much that can be said, even though I think the most powerful thing was our deep silence and what we've discovered there. The journey, the spiritual journey, is totally accessible and available to all of us if we choose to engage. There are many things that we can do to generate the atmosphere that will allow the mind to discover its eternal truths. But we must do these things. We must be aware that it does make a difference how we engage, what we do, what we don't do, the choices that we make. It's important to know that. And to know that we don't, although it's wonderful to have teachers and it's fantastic to have all different kinds of supporting circumstances, even without any of that, moment by moment, day to day, we can increase our capacity for understanding, for awakeness, by paying appropriate attention. The reason that meditation is so, what they would say, necessary is because we have to become aware of the mind's nature. If we aren't aware of what's going on, then we are continually pushed around by our own reactivity. And as if we were possessed by some kind of external demon, we are buffeted and literally pushed around by our own reactivity. And it's hard to see when we're in the middle of it, unless you train yourself to pay attention. So, one of the first things that you learn to do is to feel into the body. Like Linda was saying, well, she relaxed the body. Relax the emotions, relax the mind, and discovered that the mind made the body dance. But of course, this is exactly the way it works. So when whatever tension we are feeling, we can learn to look right at it and release it so that we are not gripped by it. But this is something we have to cultivate. It doesn't happen automatically because we have spent so much time doing other things with our energy. We've spent so much time cultivating patterns of thought and sensation and our ideas about our life that move us away from this awakeness. And when we start to get uncomfortable, rather than penetrating it with awareness, disarming it, opening it into a relaxed state so we can actually see what is there. Instead, we run away from it. We block it. And we engage in things that, in fact, augment the circumstance. So, our practice, one of the reasons why it's so helpful to have evenings like this. This is why, whenever I come to town, this is what I want to do. Because it doesn't matter how many people come, it doesn't matter what's going on. I know that as we engage in the practice, I feel deep layers of myself relax, open up, become more aware. Become more accessible. I also find energetically, usually when you go home from a Tara evening, don't you find yourself energized? I mean, almost too much so, because here it's night and you want to sleep, and instead you're bouncing off the walls with energy. But according to the teachings, as I've been able to understand them, this energy is essential in allowing us to hold our position in awareness so that we can see clearly what when something grips us, when something distracts us, when something distorts for us. So that as soon as we catch hold, now, okay, we're gripped by something, we have some big attachment. We think that everything is supposed to happen according to our preconceived notions about the way things are supposed to be. Our car is in the parking lot, and when we go back out to our car, it's supposed to be where we left it in good shape. It's not supposed to have a ding that somebody must have put in it and left us with the ding. Now, this is just an example. But that's exactly the kind of situation where you have a chance to see how the mind has its preconception about the way things are supposed to be. Our preconception is that that car is going to be the same. This body is going to be the same. This relationship is going to be the same. This island is going to be the same. This air is going to be the same. It's insidious. The degree of our preconceptions about the way things are supposed to be. And when life doesn't live up to those preconceptions, if we are not alert, we fall into reactivity. We try to push it away. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Look, there's a dent in my car. There's not supposed to be a dent in my car. And then we create tremendous amounts of tension and insanity about the situation. Now, but look at your life right now. Look at the different ways in which you meet this internal resistance to the natural flow of impermanence. Really learn to make impermanence your friend and not your enemy. Do this by recognizing that all places, friends, joys, and possessions are impermanent. They are all going to die out of your life. Prepare for this. Really observe as much as possible. Meditate, concentrate, reflect on impermanence. When you look at the ocean, when the waves are coming and going, reflect on impermanence. Allow yourself to relax into the truth of impermanence. If you are able to do this, you are so much more prepared when you are confronted with your preconceived notions of the way you think things ought to be, so that you can see that that's what you're doing. Otherwise, okay, your beloved did not react the way you want. They did something that really you can't even understand why. There's no room in your idea of the way things are supposed to be that they would act in such a way. And yet, why not? It's impermanent. It's all moving around. It's all changing. The only problem was that you put up the wall. You are the one that said, no, this can't be happening this way. No, this is not correct. It's correct because it's happening. So the more you concentrate or allow yourself to concentrate, to understand, to experience the truth of impermanence and the truth of the fact that everything dies out, every situation, you will find the most tremendous freedom. We are the ones who build the prison for ourselves to live in. We are the ones with the key. We are the ones who can unlock the door. But in order to do that, you need to be awake, you need to be alert, you need to be relaxed and open so that there's a lot of room, a lot of space for things to appear, have their life, have their relationship with us.
We have to not be indentured by life's little dents.
There you go. We knew we could count on you. It's Harry Airy. Yeah. Yeah. So that was really, I didn't really have a lot to say, but that was the one that really occurred to me, that it would be good to remind us, because from moment by moment, it's all changing. It appears so solid. It appears so permanent. It's like our bodies, you know, they appear so solid. They feel so solid, so permanent, and yet look at how they change from one day to the next. It's just tremendous. You know, I did all this walking the past 3 days, you know, and yeah, it's wonderful. It's strange.
I noticed you dancing tonight. It was like beautiful.
No pain.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
So it can go either way. It doesn't only degenerate. It also can improve. It changes. It's remarkable how everything is constantly changing. But I remember during a whole period of my training in these different practices that I made it a habit to say to everyone I loved, at that time my husband, my friends, my students, my everyone, you know, when I would say goodbye, I would think, this is the last time I will see you. So every time my husband walked out the door, I would say to myself, this is the last time I will see you. It was tremendous training. Think about that with your children, with your beloveds, with your friends. This is the last time I will see you. Because it's the last time you're going to see them in that shape and form anyway. No matter who comes back through the door, it's the same person, but not really. Because the great impermanence is working on all of us all of the time. So if you prepare in this way, if you practice in this way, if you, you know, I love my bed. I just adore my bed. When I get into my bed, I'm so happy. I tell my bed how much I love it and how, because I have put together all the elements that make for a very comfortable sleeping situation or bed situation. I mean, I watch movies in there. I do my exercises. I mean, I have my whole little world there in that bed, right? And so, but I also, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I get up, I say to myself, this may be the last time I ever am able to experience the comfort of this bed. It's wonderful, this practice.
Then do you get back in bed because...
No, I mean, I'm happy to say goodbye. You just learned that it's whatever. You know, it's whatever. You can appreciate. It's not to not appreciate and enjoy your enjoyments. It's not about that. This was where, you know, so many people have a misunderstanding about Buddhism. Because Shakyamuni's first statement was, life, what we need to understand is that it's permeated with dissatisfaction. That the source of our pain, is this inability to really see clearly it's all impermanent. And so we grasp onto things. You know, we grasp onto the bed. Okay, this is my bed. It's never going to change. Well, but we know that this is not, I mean, beds die. You know, give it another 5 years, it's not going to give me the same degree of satisfaction that it's giving me now. Am I correct? I mean, isn't that what happens? You know, the whole slumpy thing and the, you know, it gets, I mean, there's just, yeah, or whatever, you know. The satisfaction is in the moment. It's in the moment. And we find our satisfaction if we cling to a thing. So that was his observation. It wasn't don't appreciate what you have, but just recognize that it is fleeting. It's not a permanent thing. It's not something that you can grasp onto or that you can even anticipate. This is all, it's just training. It's learning to really pay attention, not to run away from what we're feeling. The other thing that's very important for us to understand is whatever we're feeling is what we're feeling. So not to run away from it. If you feel disappointed, if you feel disturbed, be aware that that is what you are feeling. Don't try to run away from it. The difference, it doesn't mean that you are denying what you're feeling. Okay, my bed is lumpy. That's what a disappointment I'm experiencing.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah, so experiencing some kind of, where was I? Disappointment, yes.
You're saying
the lumpy bed.
Not to deny
the lumpy bed, yes, not to deny your feelings, yes, but to observe them. To observe them and to recognize them, to understand that they are coming from this grasping attitude, this wanting things to not be impermanent. Whereas if you can learn to feel into that, to recognize that that's what's going on, then you can disarm it, discharge it, release it. But you can only do that if you've got energy. So, an awakeness. So this is why these practices that we do are so helpful. They're so helpful because they really allow us to cut this.